since so much of our world depends on oil, it's entirely possible that we all go a little bit Neanderthal. Yes? Someone recently said something to the effect that they have scientific proof that humans, whatever that actually turns out to be, crossbred with Neanderthals back in the day, way back in the day. That would certainly explain a lot of this behavior, wouldn't it? There are a lot of people that are looking forward to speaking with Chaplain Lindsay Williams as we discuss the completely contrived and planned rolling destruction that's currently overwhelming the Middle East and is headed, well, if you look behind you, you'll see that it's riding up right behind us. I hope that Tom and Ventura will hang on and we will take a bunch of your calls and get farther down the rabbit hole. Maybe we can find Wonderland somewhere. Won't you please stay with us? This is Coast to Coast AM. John B. Wells in for George Norrie tonight, and thanks so much for listening to the show. As I tell you, it is a great pleasure to sit in his chair for a little while tonight. Let's go back to Tom in Ventura, the man who is knows about the Illuminati and so forth, because he was standing right there next to it. I want to hear some more about this duress you've been under as a result of what you know and who you know and what you think and that they know about. Are you still there, Tom?
I'm still here.
Good man.
Thank you, sir. I've you have a falling out with somebody and like an estranged relative. Mine was a father, and you find out after the falling out all the power and money he has, and he placed me and my brother, my younger brother, into a predatory gang stalking program, and it's also it's a program run. It's sanctioned by our government. Actually, I had the FBI in another state ask me what jobs I was going to hold when I called him asking for help. He asked, "Oh, sir, I can't help you with your gang stalking problem, but can you tell me what jobs you're going to be looking for, Tom? I'd like to know where you're going to be looking." I had the FBI like sound like they were complicit in this whole thing, you know, when I called them, and it was pretty interesting, you know. But I learned a great deal, you know, as a result of the falling out with my relative. I learned that the Illuminati is prevalent. They created Skull and Bones. General William Russell brought it over from Germany. And Skull and Bones, Ellen Dulles, they created the CIA, for heaven's sakes. You know, we got one of our highest agencies in government is run by a group of subversive people that want to overthrow our own country, that want to create a one-world government, to put all the money and power into their hands primarily. And like your guest is saying, he's so right about the financial system. I can't argue with your guest about anything about that. I mean, he's right about the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is run by the Illuminati. It's run. It was created by the House of Rothschilds and Paul Warburg in 1913. The agent of the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, they wanted to control all the money supply. They control the central banks of Europe and this nation. And Thomas Jefferson said, "The day we let private bankers control our money supply is the day you'll wake up and find your children homeless in the streets." And that's what we have right now. And Thomas Jefferson was one of the smartest, most brilliant men alive during the formation of our nation. And it's too bad nobody listened to him. You know, it's too bad that Woodrow Wilson, let Colonel House, who was Illuminati, this fictitious Colonel House, manipulate him into creating this Federal Reserve, this sham Illuminati-run money system, and charging all of us interest. When we buy a $50,000 house, we end up paying back $150,000. We got to buy three houses to pay for the one house we buy from the bank. If we controlled our own money supply, there'd be no problems in this nation. If we made our own money and kicked the Illuminati bankers out of this nation, and those were the jerks that George Bush Illuminati bailed out. They were the last people that needed a bailout. The 10 most underreported news stories of 2009. Is it Bank of America that got $25 billion, AIG that got $180 billion? They all took all these banks, Goldman Sachs, all these Illuminati-run banks and criminals, they took the money after they created this financial mess. The Illuminati Bushes laughed as they bailed out these criminals, gave them this fictitious bailout money, a blank check, basically. They took the money to the Cayman Islands. Read the 10 most underreported news stories of 2009. They took it to the mafia offshore haven banks so they don't have to pay any taxes on it. These people are outright criminals, these bankers that are running all these banks. And, you know, they have all of us Americans, most of us as sheep. The wolf has already got his foot in the door. You can forget about, trying to get him out. He's got his foot in the door. They kept us all distracted with games, sports, pornography, you name it, thinking about making money, worried about paying the mortgage, the rent, the auto insurance. They have kept us distracted. And they want us distracted with sports. You read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's an Illuminati Masonic document to the hilt. I'm a 32nd degree Mason. I know it is without a doubt. Even though Nihilists, who was helping the Tsar in Russia, he altered the document and tried to make it look like the Jews wrote it to take the pressure off the Tsar in Russia. But it's not a Jewish document. The Jews did not write it. It might have been an Illuminati Masonic Jew who wrote it, but it's not a conspiracy by Jews by no means. It's an Illuminati Masonic document. And everything that's been written in there 150 years ago has come true. Everything. The 13th Protocol. We are going to create games and sports of all kinds to distract the masses. We got Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, you name it. Well, you know, they have distracted the masses. Sports. We're going to create sports games. You know, if they're overcome by lust, we're going to give them more of it. Look at the widespread pornography. It says in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, we're going to take them away from their God and make them just think about making money. We're going to pit them against their neighbor and their brother. We're going to make it a struggle to survive. And we're going to inoculate them with vaccines that will give them disease. It says this in the Protocols. Everything they wrote about has come true so far, by the way.
Isn't that funny? That's precisely what the chaplain was saying. You know, they actually leave they're not even clues. They're like billboards as to what their intent is and what they will do. And they are so completely arrogant about it that as long as they can convince us all that there's something in it for each one of us, then we'll go along with it until they get their way. Can you argue with anything that he's saying, Chaplain, or is he pretty much in the groove there? Thank you, Tom, very much.
I can't argue with anything he said. That is not my field. My field is crude oil. And the people who have talked with me and given me the information they've given me, it's mainly been about the financial world, crude oil. But yet, on the other hand, in my own personal, personally trying to find out what all the rest of this is all about, I would say that what this gentleman says, even though the elite have never told me this, that it appears that much of this is true, if not all of it.
Do you think that the information that was given to you by the people that you became close with, are these confessions of conscience? I mean, they were participants, and some of them, I presume, continue to be participants. Why did they release this information?
I think there were probably two reasons. Number one, part of the moral code, a code of ethics, I like to call it, of these individuals, is they must tell the world everything that they're going to do before they do it. I think that's one reason they told me, because they know that I have listeners all across America and the world. After 35 years of my being on probably thousands of radio shows, they know I have a listening audience. Secondly, much of this was given to me out of respect for 3 years that I gave of my life to be their chaplain, and I think much of it they've given to me in order to help me protect my own family in light of what they have told me. Yet on the other hand, when I did say some of those things back 3 years ago, they called me on the carpet and said, "Chaplain, you've got to close down your website, and you must take certain things out of your DVDs." There were certain things they didn't want said up until that point. Now, of course, the only thing I can imagine is that because of respect for me and wanting to protect my own family, they've given me much of this.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is a new DVD of yours, The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. You don't strike me as a person who's trying to sell DVDs. I think that you're trying to get the word out, but that's just me. What can you tell the listening audience?
Well, John, when you and I talked earlier in the day, I said to you, I said, I want to stick with my subject.
Right.
I have so much to say. I want to tell the people everything I can in the time that I have allotted. You're very gracious to allow me to stay back over in this hour. I do feel a moral obligation, and I told this to the producer of Coast to Coast when she called me the other day. She asked me, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, and she knew that there's some risk to it. And I said, I feel a moral obligation to tell the people what I know. Therefore, we have just produced, and you've asked for this, is the reason I'm giving it.
Understood.
We are in the production stages right now of a DVD series entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. Now, I'm sitting here in my office right now with stacks of papers around me. Even in the 2 hours and 20 minutes that we've had, I've only covered a fraction of this. We are attempting in this DVD series to tell you everything that you must do immediately in light of what they're doing. I go into such things as what's happening to the stock market. I go into things like insider trading. I haven't even touched on that tonight. The elite have done some things that are marks. I haven't even gone into the COMEX Silver Exchange and what's taking place there. I could go on and on and on. We go into all of this in our new DVD series entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. And then, of course, a number of years ago, I produced 6 DVDs of everything that the elite have told me over the past 3 years through the year 2012. But our latest series is The Middle East and the Rest of the Story. I would hope that people will get these. Now, you're right. All of us have to make a living, but I do not copyright my materials. Now, this is very unusual for any person who spends the amount of money that's necessary to produce a series like this. None of my materials are copywritten. All of my DVDs, CDs, I beg you to copy them. I plead with you to give them out to everybody you can. Get an original copy, good quality, and then give it to everybody possible. You don't copy it yourself. You have my permission. There's no copyright on these. So, John, if the people would like to get them, if you want me to tell the place, I will, or you can, whatever you'd like.
That's very gracious of you, and I appreciate your saying that because, for reasons that are just obvious. Let's speak with Roy in Colton, California. He's on the wild card line. Come on in, Roy. Are you there?
Yeah. Hey, John. How are you doing?
Good. Doing all right. How are you?
Lindsay, all right, man. You guys are great. This is a really good show tonight. First of all, I feel like a dumbass, you know, from what he's saying, it's obvious to me now that George Bush, they were in on it, that 9/11 was an inside job, that this was manufactured, and all these people were getting killed. Bush said that with the war in Iraq was going to bring oil back, the prices of gas would be cheap. He did nothing. He got 5,000 young Americans killed, okay, just so that he could prove to his daddy that he was worth of his love, because he's a big dumbass anyway. But other than that, I want to ask you a question. I had read somewhere that J.D. Rockefeller in 1908 or 7, somewhere about, bribed the Congress, or lobbied, as they use the term, right? But bribed the Congress and had laws written in his favor so that Ford Motor Company could only make cars that ran on his gasoline, not on water or electricity or alcohol, which they were already working on back then. So, you know, I think that's one of the big reasons why we are in the crap that we are now, because of the greed of these, you know, demons from hell, monster, or, you know, rich guys, you know, or the Trillion Club guys, you know. So that's
understood and appreciated. Understood and appreciated. Thank you very much, Roy. That's any reaction to that, Chaplain?
I have never had confirmed to me by any of these people that happened with J.D. Rockefeller. I have never heard that. You'll notice that most every bit of my material are things that are recent and current that they have given me in relation to things that exist at the very time they gave it to me, and I went on radio talk shows and told it across the nation. I can't confirm that to be true or false, but I wouldn't doubt it.
GLORIA, Gloria, in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies, obviously. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Good evening.
Yeah, I was calling to tell him that I heard this lady call in wondering, how can we turn this around? Pray for those people. There is no praying for these people. God, it is in the Bible, different places. God tells us this stuff will take place. It has to take place and be for Jesus Christ to be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and for every. This is part of God's plan. And for his people, we are to stay strong with God and praise him and so on. And now, if I may give an illustration, I don't want to preach, not on the phone, on your air, but like when that Peter wanted to walk across the water like Jesus was doing, then all of a sudden he was distracted. He took his eyes just a split second off of Jesus. He went down. Okay, that's what we're on right now. So that we don't go down, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're on that rough sea now.
That's a pretty good place. That's a pretty good statement. Yeah, I think you pretty much said it all right there, Gloria. Thank you very much. What about you Canadian guy up there in Toronto, Mike, on the international line? Would you join us? Is Mike from Toronto there, or did he give up?
Pardon?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Couldn't hear you for a second.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, man. Bring it on. What you got?
Okay, so I had a few things to say. I have one question. First, I had a question, then a few things to say. Does this new world order, does that mean that there's going to be a one currency?
What about that, Chapman?
Like, does that mean there should be one currency for the entire world?
Yes, there positively will be one currency. Now, this they have gone into. By the end of 2012, it is scheduled for them to draw their timeline or bring about the things that they wanted to do in that timeline. And as I said earlier, they told me that the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. That does not mean non-existent. That means that its purchasing power would be so little that the American people will probably at that point beg. You see, they want them to want you to want what they want or what they're doing. And whenever the dollar gets to that point, you basically, as an American, will beg the Federal Reserve to give you a new currency. And it's my opinion from what I've heard from them recently that they're going to bypass the Amero altogether, which many of us thought earlier that they would put into place. And they will go. They have accelerated that program to the point now that it appears they're going to go directly to a world currency. And I gather from what I'm hearing, not from them, but just from the secular media, and what I consider to be buzzwords, that it will be a gold-backed currency. That, of course, is going to make gold go to $3,000 to $5,000 an ounce. But yes, they are going to a world currency.
As this thing in the Middle East, you know, it's funny that this whole revolution appears to have started in Egypt, and they're, to my knowledge, they're not an oil-producing country. Does Egypt produce any oil at all?
I'm not quite sure whether they do or not, but this is where the revolution started. And then, of course, now they want it to spread through the entire Middle East, and much of it will be done through the Muslim Brotherhood.
Understood. Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on our hard break at the bottom of the hour and want to talk to some more people, and I know some more people want to talk to Chaplain Lindsey Williams about what's coming down the road. I would like to discuss with you on the other side how many of our friends, and frankly, Israel comes to mind, are we willing to throw under the bus in furtherance of this global agenda by these elitists? John B. Wells in for George Norrie. Thank you for joining us tonight on Coast to Coast AM. We will return. You know, China needs a lot of oil. Now, how do we slow them down a little bit? And what happens when, because of oil prices, their goods are no longer cheap? Then again, what about India? And where's Mexico in all of this? They used to supply 25% of the world's oil the first quarter of the 20th century. These things and more we will discuss, and we will take your calls with the chaplain, Lindsey Williams, on Coast to Coast AM. Please stand by. Well, thanks for sitting with me while we let our callers chat for a little bit, Chaplain. What about that? How is it too late to slow China down at all? Is this just inevitable? You mentioned earlier that if the T-bills crash, and according to your information, they will, they're going to react in a horrible and horrendous fashion. Are we too late to quit buying their stuff at this point? As a method of slowing them down a little bit?
The question was given to me, and I will give it verbatim, word for word, as one of these individuals said it to me. He said, Chaplain, China is the big one. That was their way of explaining it. And at this point, Boeing has moved there. Caterpillar, who is the number one on the New York Stock Exchange, our textile industry, on and on and on you go. Practically nothing's made in America anymore. Can you imagine the Walmart stores without anything on its shelves marked made in China? Well, when China becomes as angry as they will be, and it's bound to happen, just watch it, with the elite's timeline the way it is. No, I don't think there's any way we can stop it. The elite made China intentionally. They took our industry there. We could not build it back in a lifetime, even if we tried. We have literally been betrayed by Washington, D.C. And China is their brainchild at this point. She will have all of the energy that she needs through Russia. And, John, before the break, you mentioned something that we didn't come back to. We have been able to secure a video soundbite. The video soundbite is a group chanting, and I believe it's in Egypt, if I remember correctly, a group of the Muslim Brotherhood chanting. And in their chant, I did not write down the actual words because I have them, but I didn't write them down. They will be in our Middle East, the rest of the story video series. We will actually show the soundbite. You can see it for yourself and hear the chant. They were actually chanting, "We are going to Israel and millions will die." This was the Muslim Brotherhood chanting. It almost sent cold chills up and down my spine when I saw it. There is some things in the wind. China will be more and more the big one. And at this point, I'm not quite so sure that the elite haven't already taken this to the point that we couldn't get back our industry. It would take so long to do it. But it must be done. And somehow we must have somebody to stand up in Washington, someone the American people need to elect who will have some backbone again.
Earlier you mentioned that an admonition was given to your friend by our Homeland Security Secretary that a six-month supply of food and water would be a good idea. What happens after the 6 months? Any clue as to what follows? Is this a short-term misery or a longer-term?
Well, it's not going to be long-term because, remember, the goal of the elite is to bring America to a point whereby they can bring about a total control. And this includes the dollar. This includes the food supply, as I mentioned earlier. It was said to me, there'll be plenty of groceries on the grocery store shelf, you just won't be able to buy it. Well, when people get hungry, their children are crying, they will beg and plead for another currency. And, of course, the World Bank, the IMF, is very willing and ready to come on with a new world currency. Now, I'll give you one other date that was given to me that you need to know about. It was said to watch the euro. Watch the European Union. It's going to have more and more trouble. It's kind of out of the news now because of the Middle East. But the European Union will have major problems. And whenever the euro, now please write this date down, whenever the euro crashes, you have approximately 2 to 3 weeks to get out of all paper, or you're going to lose it. I don't know how all this is going to transpire. I probably will find out more as time goes along. But when you see the euro crash, I hope that you're out of all paper by then. Now, whenever I say all paper, I'm talking about Federal Reserve notes. I'm speaking of 401ks. I'm talking about your retirement funds. Even your Social Security is going to be at jeopardy. If it's written on a piece of paper, it's been said to me it's worth the paper it's written on. But watch one of their signs, I should say. I gave you a sign earlier. I said, watch crude oil, and you will know the progression of the elitist program. Watch the euro, and when it crashes, you've got 2 to 3 weeks to be out of paper, or more than likely you're going to lose it.
Understood. So in other words, we don't want to be stuck with a bunch of currency that's the equivalent of that peso that Mexico had that they got rid of when it was, I don't know, 1,600 pesos to the dollar before they replaced their money.
It has happened in Mexico. It happened in the Weimar Republic. And America is no more exempt. We've got a $14 trillion deficit. And the interest alone on that, it's no longer possible for the oil-producing countries of the world and China, who has been buying our debt for years, it's no longer for the, impossible for them to buy enough T-bills and Federal Reserve issues to even pay the interest on the debt. There positively is a point at which the whole thing must come to an end.
Since Mexico is, I think they depend on us quite a lot, what's to become of them? Now, we focus primarily on what's going to happen to us and whatever miseries we may endure here, but what will happen with them? Will they go into a deeper state of abject poverty and then come north seeking some relief from that? Or what does your crystal ball say about that, so to speak?
They haven't said a thing about Mexico. In fact, I don't think Mexico has ever been mentioned to me. But people are scared to death of Mexico because of what the drug cartel is doing. We get reports of literally hundreds and maybe even thousands of people being just, well, it's horrendous what we're hearing just in the news coming out of Mexico. But no, the powers that be have never said anything to me about Mexico proper.
Understood. Well, why don't we speak with Kate? Where are you, Kate? You're in Bend, Oregon on the wild card line. Are you still there?
Bend, Oregon. I, with all due respect to your guest, I've been listening pretty closely, and he says that all this information was given to him, and not only did he get the dates wrong that Henry Kissinger was in there, he specifically said Jimmy Carter sent him on the errand. And I don't believe Henry Kissinger ever worked for Jimmy Carter. And then he chalked it up to his research. So I'm kind of confused. What is information that was given to him by these folks? And what is his conclusions based on his own research? And then shortly thereafter, and you brought up and gave the dates that Henry Kissinger was it was 73 to 77. And he was talking about the Chinese yen. And I'm a little, I don't know, I'm
the
just
yuan.
Kind of...
Yeah, it's okay, Japanese,
well,
yeah. I think you meant the yuan. And now Kissinger, no, that's okay, that's all right. It's not really easy to track with everything that these people do. Kissinger has been involved. He was a national security advisor and later concurrently a secretary of state in the administrations of Nixon and Gerald Ford. So he's been active in all of this under various titles. So,
but he didn't work for Jimmy Carter, and your guest did say Jimmy Carter sent him on this mission to strike these deals on the oil wells. And maybe I misheard that too, but if that's the case, maybe he could clarify. Because
okay,
anyway,
Chaplain.
That's it, and I'll hang up and see what he has to say. And maybe I was mistaken, but I did hear him say Jimmy Carter sent Kissinger on this mission. Thank
okay,
you.
Kate. Thanks a lot. Okay, on guard, Chaplain. Go ahead.
Can you
straighten her up a little bit
there? What I was told was that during the years that Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, that at that time he went abroad and cut the deal with the OPEC oil-producing countries. I merely used Carter because I in my own research, I did make a mistake as to the dates. The only thing that was told to me by the elite was that Kissinger cut this deal at the time that he was Secretary of State. Then on my own, I tried to research when he was there in that particular position. And I did apologize a moment ago and thanked your listening audience for their expertise in looking up those dates.
Well, it's just that old thing about you do something right, nobody remembers. You do something wrong, and nobody forgets.
Yes, that's true.
How about the first-time caller, Riverside, California? Don, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Hey, good evening.
Pardon my voice. I've got laryngitis. Okay, I had two questions. And the first one for Mr. Williams or for yourself, Mr. Wells, is the 6-month food supply, and that's a lot of food to stock up on. Do you have any theories as to what we might need to store up? The average, you know, American might need to store up 6 months worth of food and water.
I would think bulk things. What's your feeling about that?
What might be coming around the corner, you know, that we might need to do something like that to where we would store up 6 months. That's quite a bit of food.
Reaction to that, Chaplain?
Yes. The most important thing is the dollar is on its way out, and the food will become so expensive. For instance, back about a month ago, I realized that I was getting a little short on certain supplies. I try to keep a 6-month supply of certain things around the house. And when I went through the grocery store, I said, you know, I need to buy some tissue, bathroom tissue. They don't make scissor book catalogs anymore. And I said, I need to pick up a package. So I picked it up off of the shelf, one of these huge ones, and it was $6. The following week, I said, okay, let's get a 6-month supply of this. Same grocery store, Safeway grocery store in our area. And I went back, and it was $9 for the identical same package 1 week later. A month later, I was back in the store, and I just happened to remark to my wife and my son, look at that shelf. The identical same package of tissue was $12. Now, this has happened in a matter of months. Now, it wasn't the tissue that changed. It was the same number of rolls in the package. The only thing that changed is the purchasing power of the dollar. Now, I think probably that the reason that Janet Napolitano said this is because of the fact that it's going to be very difficult in the future to purchase certain things because of the price they're going to. It would be wise at this point to take the money while it still has purchasing power. Don't go and borrow money to do this, please. The last thing you want to do is go in debt or put money on that credit card. But if you can afford to make some precautions, as Janet Napolitano recommended, I think it'd be very wise in light of what's happening to grocery prices and the dollar purchasing power.
All right, very good. Feel like taking another call? Let's talk to Russ, west of the Rockies, in I believe it's Sutherland, Oregon. Oh, he's gone. Bless his heart. Well, how about William in Kansas City, east of the Rockies?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Best we can. How are you doing?
We got sleet, snow, and all that good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Not too good, but anyway, good other than that. I wanted to ask you, don't these people in Washington see what's going on in other countries? And not that I would ever do anything, because I wouldn't, but I mean, don't they think that's going to happen here? I mean, a revolution, it's blatant that they take everything. I work for a company. I've been there 15 years. I started out making $4.25 an hour. I dropped out of high school. This is my fault. But I'm making $11 now, you know, and then maybe that's not horrible money, but that ain't good money. And they have a couple good benefits, but they're really pushers. They're kind of wanting to make it like a Mexican or whatever.
Well, what's your question, brother?
Like a sweatshop. Well, I just wonder if don't these people see what they're doing to America? Don't they think that it's hurting people here? Do they even care?
Well, it's just like the chaplain was saying. It's all about control.
Well, I know that, but I mean, they're going to lose it sooner or later. I mean, they can have all the money they want. They can have the militia they want. There's more of us than there is of them. And I know you're not a multi-billionaire, so, you know, I mean, there's more of us than there is of them, and it's just, I think it's evil. I think it's not right. I grew up in the 60s. I remember what America was, and it's not America now. I mean, the people are, but the people that run it are not, and whether it ever really was, it seemed to be. I was born in the Kennedy era, so...
Well, I think he's a little disillusioned, Chaplain. I think he's trying to figure out if we still got the backbone to be a true Americans as we were described
like
by ourselves.
Everything was made here. I mean, we were great. We made automobiles, we made radios, we made stereos, we made Gibson guitars, Fender guitars. Now all that stuff's made over in China and nowhere else. And it's just, I see the things I buy in the stores, they're like the hot dogs, maybe the toilet paper, and little mints. And boy, they got that big American flag stamped all over it. And it's silly.
Well, here's the thing. Thanks for calling very much. Can you give him some words of encouragement, Chaplain? Because I'm thinking that our character is there, but it may take a nudge to make it reveal itself again.
The last thing in the world we want is revolution. And I hope that your listening audience will give a call to our toll-free number. And at least let me give you some answers spiritually. We do give them, along with all the other things in our DVD new presentation entitled The Middle East, The Rest of the Story. We don't want revolution. That never turns out right. We want an orderly, as our founding fathers established America so that we could vote. We want an orderly change in this, and it can be done, mainly because of programs just like this right now, coast to coast. So, John, may I give out our number in case people would like to get The Middle East, The Rest of the Story?
Absolutely.
Please call our toll-free number, 888-799-6111, or you can go on the web to prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com. I have asked our operators to be standing by all night long tonight. Again, our toll-free number, 888-799-6111 or prophecyclub.com. Please copy these materials. Give them to everybody you can. The Middle
Thank
East,
you very much.
Rest of the story.
Middle East, the rest of the story. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us for not only the 2 hours we scheduled, but the additional hour afterward. After the break at the top of the hour, which is upon us, it's all yours, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We'll have ourselves an hour's worth of discussion on these topics and anything else that comes to your mind. John Wells in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.